Almighty God, by his spoken word, all things came into being. Speak to us this morning through our worship of you that we may be inspired by your Holy Spirit and drawn to follow and proclaim Jesus as our Lord. In his name I pray, amen. Good morning. So this is a sermon about whether or not Jesus can have an impact on your daily life. You may know the old quip that there are only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who think there are two kinds of people and those who think there are not two kinds of people. When it comes to those who encounter Jesus in one way or form, I think actually this is true. There are those who accept his authority in their lives and there are those who do not. And the choice one makes actually makes all the difference in the world. Let me explain. Like some of you, I am a big fan of Tony Bennett. At the ripe old age of 92, he's still performing, sometimes doing his old stuff, and someday he's recently sang with Lady Gaga, so maybe the two of them will show up to church here someday. So he shows no signs of stopping. His birthday is next month in August. As you probably know, he was the child of poor Italian immigrants who worked in the grocery business. He was born in 1926, grew up in Astoria, Queens. He was auditioning for a show produced by Bob Hope, starring Pearl Bailey. It was a big break for him, and Mr. Hope was really impressed. And when he got the job, Hope asked him his name. He kind of stuck out his chest and said, Anthony Benedetto. Hope thought for a moment and said, nope, that's way too long for the marquee. So from now on, we're going to call you Tony Bennett. And from then on, his name changed, as did his life. Why would Bennett have allowed Mr. Hope to change his name, his very identity? Well, of course, Mr. Hope knew the business. He was an authority. Respected around the civilized world for his mind and his wit and his success. So Anthony Benedetto became Tony Bennett because he met someone who was where the young singer wanted to be. Now, in the gospel lesson we just heard, we encounter Jesus in the first days of his ministry. And what we learn is that regardless of how people responded, they all recognized that when he spoke, like the old E.F. Hutton commercials, people listened. He was one who spoke as with authority, the scriptures say. But we're given here two very distinct, different reactions to his authority. We have a scene in Nazareth, and we have a scene in Capernaum. Jesus' message was no different, but the response was very different indeed. Now, though born in Bethlehem, Nazareth was home to the boy Jesus. He grew up there. He played with the other children there, did his chores like other kids, and probably got the bugs that were going around. Everyone came to know Jesus. In his early years, his millennial years, he was a carpenter. No doubt many in town came to Jesus with broken chairs or tables or other bits of furniture to repair. So it came as quite a surprise when Jesus began speaking with authority that he was not really Joseph's son, but was in fact the Son of God who had come to take away the sin of the world. Now what's interesting is at first, the scriptures tell us, everyone in Nazareth was really quite impressed with what Jesus had to say. Everyone spoke well of him, the Bible says. But then he began to challenge the religious institutions of the day, and that was really more than they could stand. This is Joseph and Mary's son. He has no authority over us, they said. And they actually seek to execute him. It is not that Nazareth did not recognize Jesus' authority. They just did not accept it. What the scripture says is they said he has no authority over us. Let me say that again. It's not that Nazareth did not recognize Jesus' authority. They just did not accept it. So what does Jesus do? He moves on. Actually, now, the Bible, I've gone through this three times this morning. The Bible, the version we're reading today says he goes down to Capernaum. Capernaum is actually north, if you know biblical geography. So we'll work this out later with the printers of this particular Bible. But it's about an 8.5-hour hike for a healthy man to go from Nazareth up to Capernaum, which is located on the southeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Here again, Jesus teaches. His authority is recognized, but the reaction is quite different. In Nazareth, we're told, Jesus could not perform many miracles because the people did not believe. But in Capernaum, we learn that he cast out demons, he healed, he performed other miracles. What happened? Well, the people of Capernaum accepted his authority. Let me say that again. The people of Capernaum accepted his authority. It was not Jesus' charisma nor his personality that made him attractive. It was his message and what he had to say. So I said a few moments ago that this is a sermon about whether or not Jesus can really have an impact on your daily life. So in order to kind of answer that rhetorical question, it seems to me we have to kind of deal with two other questions that this lesson puts before us. First, does Jesus in fact have that authority that the scriptures tell us he does? And second, if he does, then is he my authority? Let's deal with the first one. First, does Jesus actually have this authority? Well, time doesn't allow me to make a wide kind of broad case for you this morning. If you've been here for the last 11 years, I hope your rector has done kind of a good job at least of unpacking and kind of laying this point in front of you. But let me borrow from C.S. Lewis to answer this question with some brevity. C.S. Lewis notes that Jesus did not come, as did many of the great religious figures to which we point, to be a great moral leader or teacher. He came to save humanity from sin and to do so as the Son of God. Now, when somebody says, "I'm the Son of God," we would suggest you really have three kind of options. Either the man is crazy on the level of somebody who says they're a poached egg, or the man is so egomaniacal that he's kind of evil, he's completely narcissistic. But if not mentally off or evil, then the third option is that the man is actually telling the truth. And as I study the person of Jesus, what I do not see is a lunatic. In fact, what he offers in his teachings are heralded as the most magnificent of any figure in history. Jesus was not egomaniacal. He wasn't narcissistic. He wasn't evil. He obviously left a legacy of spilling his life out for others. And we then can't accept the assertion that Jesus had a problem with kind of self-grandizement. So if he's not mentally ill and if he's not evil, there's really only one option left before us. We must face the very real possibility that Jesus was telling the truth. He is precisely who he said he is. He was God, come in human form to show humans the way to live on earth and to offer them the gift of eternal life through his death, resurrection, and the sending of his Holy Spirit. So indeed, and if you want to argue about this, we can do it at the door. But indeed, I think it's safe to say that Jesus does have this authority. But if he does have that authority, then we have to ask ourselves whether or not he is my authority. He said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and earth are given to me." If that's true, what then does it mean for us? What does it mean for Jesus Christ to be my authority? In the sacraments of our church, in baptism, in confirmation, in the Eucharist that we're about to share, we pledge ourselves to continually submit to Christ as our Lord and Savior, not just of humanity as a whole, but of me personally. And that means that each day I must ask whether or not I am yielding more and more to his leading, his teaching, his guidance, his presence in my life. In a sense, with each increasing day, does my life look more like his or more like something else? If indeed Jesus is God, then we must know that what he offers in the way of life is, for lack of a better phrase, the way to go. He is, as C.S. Lewis said, the fuel upon which we human beings were meant to run. Saint author Francis Roberts wrote, "Finding God, you have no need to seek peace, for he himself is your peace." Augustine, those well-known words of Augustine from his Confessions to God when he wrote, "My heart is restless until it rests in thee." The rest for our restlessness is found in allowing Jesus to be not just the authority, but my authority. Think about it. If Jesus was the authority of our lives, in our world today, there would be no division. There would be no gossip, no selfishness, no anger, no racism, no bitterness, no violence, no unforgiveness. If Jesus were our authority, not one person sitting here this morning would suffer from addiction or guilt or self-centeredness. And since he was the word by which we were created, he is also the one who knows how best to run our day-to-day lives and to make them run smoothly, perfectly, if you will. You may know the true story of the man who many years ago owned a Model T Ford, and it broke down on the side of the road. Now, this man knew a lot about cars, and specifically this car. So he went to work, he tried different things, and each time he went back to kind of try and crank the engine, and it just wouldn't start. Now, like a lot of us guys, he was a little stubborn. So rather than call for help, he just continued to work. He tried different things, and still nothing. The car just wouldn't start. So a few minutes later, a large limousine pulled up beside him. Out stepped an old man who just stood and watched him for a few minutes. And finally, the old man looked at him and said, told the younger guy, if you just adjust this little part right here of the engine, just a little bit, then that engine's going to start up. The guy figured, well, I'll give it a try because I've tried almost everything else, but there's no way that this old guy could know more about this car than him. But he did. He adjusted that little part as he was told, got in the car, and sure enough, the engine cranked back to life. He was surprised. He stuck his head out the window and asked the old man, well, how did you know what to do? And the old man said, well, my name's Henry Ford, and I invented this car. It's a true story, not a preacher's tale. Jesus invented you. And he knows how to make your life run. Not just run, but run well. And as it stands today, maybe he has authority over some area of your life, but not over all of your life. You know, if you are holding on to some bitterness and anger, and you haven't invited Jesus into that bitterness and anger is not going to go away. If you have a troubled marriage or relationship with your children, and you haven't invited Jesus into that trouble will remain. If you're dealing with some unethical issue at work or some sinful pattern and you haven't invited Jesus into that situation, those things will just continue. If you become a person who feels you're kind of greedy and you're kind of holding on more than you give away, it's going to stay that way until you invite Jesus in to show you how important it is to be generous with all that you are. The Christian life is a journey of continual submission, of perpetual yielding to his authority. If you do not yield, the sicknesses in your life will only increase, and we are as sick as our secrets. But as we do, the more we yield, his Spirit will lift from us any area of our lives which works against God's love in our life and the love of one another and the living out of his work in the world around us. We cannot do it on our own. We need his help. We need his continual help. And the only way to do that is to yield more and more. One of the great joys in my ministry is spending time with older people, with people older than me. There's a wealth of knowledge and experience to be learned from that greatest generation that's just a few steps before us in the greater timeline of history. Many years ago now, I developed a deep and meaningful friendship with an old Jewish businessman named Herbert Hyman. We would go for lunch or for coffee. We'd just sit in his office and exchange stories. One story I well remember came from his teen years. He was about 13. He was on the tail end of many piano lessons with his mother. Now, Herbert's mother was a great piano player. When it comes to teaching your children, you know how that often goes. Herbert, just shy of 14, was far more interested in playing baseball than learning piano. But he was a Gershwin fan, and he longed to play Rhapsody in Blue. And one day, his friends were outside, eager to have Herbert join them. They were kind of calling for him from the window, and he sat very reluctantly at the piano. His mom could tell that Herbert was getting kind of wiggly, and the frustration level between the two of them was growing. And finally, Herbert said, "Can I just go outside and play baseball?" At which point his mother replied, "Fine." And she began to tear that piece of music from top to bottom, and then she stopped herself. And she said, "You know, Herbert, I'm never going to teach you to play the piano again unless you ask me." And Herbert said, "Fine." And out the door he went. The two of them didn't get near that piano together for years. At 17, Herbert went off to the Navy for 4 years, and when he returned at age 21, he was walking through the piano room one day, and he noticed that same Gershwin piece sitting at the piano, still torn at the top just a little bit. His mother had obviously been playing it. And he looked around, he made his way to the bench and sat down. He tried to play for a few minutes, but just wasn't coming out right. It was a disaster. And he looked behind him, and his mother was sitting there quietly at the steps. And he looked at her and he said, "Mother, I can't do this on my own. Will you help me?" And of course, she did. She had the authority to show him the way, and in time he learned to play Rhapsody in Blue. It's not how the message is told. It is the message itself told through the one who has the authority to tell it. And when it comes to Jesus, there are but two choices. Either reject his authority in our lives, as did the people of Nazareth, and in doing so, reject his power to change our lives. Or we can accept his authority, as did the people of Capernaum, and then more and more, day by day, be crafted into his likeness as a sculptor crafts an old piece of stone into a beautiful work of art. We can't really question his authority. We know he has it. The choice is whether or not we allow him to be my authority. This is a sermon about whether or not Jesus can have an impact on your daily life. He can. How? If you seek rest for your restlessness, we need but ask, "Father, will you help me? Father, will you come into my life? Father, will you help me?" And of course he will. Amen.